Julie, we are back in the wide world of wellness supplements today. Have you noticed this has kind of been like a theme for me to start the year?
Yes. Are you okay?
Yeah. These topics have resonated, I think, with our community, and they've just brought me joy to research them. They end up becoming this like spiral of, I didn't know that. And then I learned a bunch. And so I just have loved researching them. So I'm jumping on the wellness train and doing all the research on us supplements. By the way, fun fact, today's my 1 week anniversary off social media. So I don't know if I get a chip for that.
I keep sending you so many Instagram reels. You're going to have like 78 when you come back.
Yeah.
And I keep forgetting every time I do it, but I'm like, I'll see it eventually because you can't leave forever. One of us.
Yeah, we'll see how long it lasts. I feel like it's like anything you start, like the person who starts a new diet or gets a new thing that they're doing for whatever, like a week. Yep. And it's that honeymoon period. And I'm just like, I feel so good.
I
don't know why I didn't do this before. And you're like, a month from now, I'm going to be like, I miss it so much.
No, you're not. I'm envious of this situation. Yes. I don't think I have the willpower. I didn't know you took Lent so seriously.
Yeah. Did Lent start?
Yes.
Yeah. Did. Anyways, I've been off social media. Long story short, let's get back to supplements. Okay, Julie, what do you know about collagen?
Some. I mean, I don't know. I know there's different types of collagen. I feel like I talk about it more about like connective tissues when it comes to orthopedic things. And
yeah,
mainly, to be honest with you, it's when people ask me, like, should I be taking this to support my joint health? And I go, I don't think so. I can't imagine that you eating it makes it go into your joint. And that's probably the extent.
Thank you for bringing that up. I'd love to answer that question today for our listeners. But your first statement was good, too. Yeah, collagen's in our body.
Yeah.
And I think first and foremost, we have to understand that collagen makes up us. Mm-hmm. It is not necessarily a supplement, first and foremost, right? It's not like turmeric, right?
It's like eating hair.
Yeah, exactly. But not exactly. But I understand what you're saying. It's more like eating bones. Because it is kind of, and we'll get there.
Yeah.
But anyways, long story short, I'm familiar with collagen from my medical training as the building block of most of our body.
Mm-hmm.
I am less familiar with collagen as a supplement, but I get a lot of collagen-based questions, as you've already mentioned. I get at least once a day. I feel like somebody's asking me, should I take collagen? And again, we treat orthopedic problems, so that's what they're interested in.
Mm-hmm.
And then the last thing that really drove me to to do this episode is there is a football field size warehouse that I drive past at least 3 to 4 times a week, maybe 5 times a week, of Vital Proteins, collagen, right by O'Hare. And it's a huge warehouse. And every time I drive by, I'm like, I wonder if that stuff's legit. And then patients ask. And then I'm like, I probably should know. So now we're going to learn. Today, we're going to answer the question, do collagen supplements actually do anything?
I love it. Should we just go knock on the warehouse door and be like, yo, show your receipts?
Yeah. Well, we are going to show receipts today, Julie. We're going to show the receipts of your doctor friends and whether you should be taking Vital Proteins or any other types of proteins from collagen.
I love it. Let's do it. Yeah. I'm into it. Welcome to Your Doctor Friends, the show that teaches you to sniff out the garbage and answers all the questions that you wish you could call or text your doctor friend. My name's Julie Bruni.
And I'm Jeremy Allen, and we are two physicians who work at a nationally ranked practice and take care of some of the world's greatest athletes. We know that you have questions, and we want to help.
We want to be your doctor friends.
Okay. So the best place to start our journey today is, what even is collagen? Collagen is the most abundant protein in your body. It accounts for about 30% of your body's total protein. And it's the primary building block of your body's connective tissues, i.e. skin, muscles, bones, tendons, ligaments, etc. There's lots of collagen, and it's all over, and it makes us up. It's kind of like, you know, when you saw Westworld, and they would take the thing and it would kind of like take all those white spindles to make the human?
Yes. Yes.
That was kind of like, collagen.
Collagen. Okay.
Right.
They
didn't say whether those were collagen supplements, but that's collagen. collagen tissues may be rigid, think of like bone, or compliant, think of tendon, or have a gradient from rigid to compliant, think cartilage.
Mm-hmm.
How does it do that? How does it do it all?
Because there's different types of it, right? Like there's
different types of collagen. Wow, Julie. So per Wikipedia, a wonderful source. As of 2011, 28 types of human collagen have been identified. There's a lot. Yeah. Mm. The most common ones, types 1, types 2, type 3, type 4, and type 5. And those are the ones most of us have heard of. So type 1 makes up over 90% of your body's collagen. So 1 is by far the most prevalent.
That was my recollection, too, of like from medical school. Of like, oh, yeah, it's the one that's like most of the stuff. Yeah.
Yeah. Type 1, first one we found, makes up most of your body's collagen. It's used to provide structure to your skin, bones, tendons, and ligaments. Type 2 is found in elastic cartilage, which provides joint support. Type 3 is found in muscles, arteries, and organs. Type 4 is found in layers of your skin. And type 5 is found in the cornea of your eyes, some layers of your skin, your hair, and tissue of the placenta.
Okay. Interesting.
So we know that not having enough or having dysfunctional collagen leads to disease. So do you know any examples of a collagen dysfunction or deficiency?
Disease? I do. Ehlers-Danlos syndrome.
Yeah, Ehlers-Danlos syndrome. So people listening may have heard of Ehlers-Danlos either from personal experience with somebody they know or just frankly hearing about it on the internet. So Ehlers-Danlos is a group of 13 genetic connective tissue disorders, with group A and B being due to mutations in collagen pathways and function. And it is not 100% well characterized. So we don't know, like it's not a deficiency in like type one. It's actually the way that the collagen is synthesized and such. Mm-hmm. But anyways, it gives you very loose tissue. So some people are flexible. Some people have very stretchy skin. But the concern with Ehlers-Danlos is that you're going to have like really weak arterial walls and can have like aneurysms and things like that. So, but yes, good example. Can you think of one other one? I had two very ones that I remembered.
I'm blanking right now. No, what's the other
There's a movie called Unbreakable with Bruce Willis. Do you remember
that? Oh, Osteogenesis Imperfecta, right?
Yeah. So it wasn't Unbreakable, but it was the other guy. It was Samuel Jackson's character who had
Mr.
osteogenesis.
Glass.
Right, Mr. Glass. Mm-hmm. So that's Osteogenesis Imperfecta. It's caused by a mutation in type 1 collagen. And so it's an autosomal dominant disorder and results in weak bones and irregular connective tissue. And again, there's many different types of osteogenesis imperfecta, and some of it is not compatible with life, but the people who do live tend to have weaker bones. They fracture easy. They have irregular connective tissue. So point being is if you have not enough collagen or you have dysfunctional collagen, that's a disease and it can cause problems. Most of what we're going to talk about today is I don't have any of that, but if I just consume collagen, will that help me in any form or fashion?
Got it.
One thing we do know is that as we age, our body produces less collagen and existing collagen breaks down at a faster rate. Bad combination, right? We produce less and the ones we have break down faster. So it's completely normal for everyone to experience a decline in collagen production after the age of 60. The collagen is also lower in quality than when you were younger. I think we all know this. This is why people say aging sucks.
I know.
Women and people assigned female at birth experience a significant reduction in collagen production after menopause as well. And I think we're learning more about menopause even now. So long story short is, it's normal for this to happen. This is a normal aging process.
No, boo, make it not happen. I want to live
so
forever.
The real, yeah, right.
I want to be hot forever.
Exactly. So the entry point to this episode is, if I supplement with collagen, can I get in the way of this process? Can I make it go away or get in the way of it or slow it down? So
sure.
Julie, how do you think we know if we are low in collagen?
Oh my God, I have no idea.
So not necessarily the disease ones, but like if you said, you're 55 years old and I feel like my collagen's breaking down faster than it should and I don't have enough. How would you know that?
I don't know. How do you test for it? A biopsy?
You can't. Exactly right. There is no test. Like, so generally we know by symptoms. Mm-hmm. We get more wrinkles. Our muscles atrophy. Our joints and muscles feel stiff and achy. And we see signs of worsening circulation. What does that sound like to you?
Being 55.
Aging.
Yeah, right.
This is the normal aging process. And emphasis is on normal here. It's normal to have this happen. Except as we've covered here before and based on my recent pattern, we'll continue to cover until the end of time, it seems companies can capitalize on our well-ingrained fear of mortality and premature aging to make products and tell us that we can get in the way of this process. And maybe more importantly, tell us that that process shouldn't be normal, that it's not okay. So thus the explosion of collagen supplements, thus the YDF episode.
And now we're here.
Yeah, the advertising's simple, right? You're losing so much collagen. Look in the mirror. Look at your skin.
You look old and gross.
Yeah. How do you feel when you get up from a chair? Does it feel good when you get up from a chair? You do not need to be like this. Collagen supplements to the rescue. I don't think they actually say it like that, but you get my point.
Of course.
I don't think I'm going to get any collagen marketing dollars.
This is why we're not in marketing. This is the shit we would come up with. People would be like, gross. Get out of here, loser.
So I want to be really clear before we get right into collagen that there are some things you can do to control your aging process. Mm-hmm. Most of it is avoiding things, not necessarily consuming things. So we know other factors can get in the way of our collagen production, and those include smoking, excess sugar, UV rays, excess alcohol, and eating denatured processed food.
Okay.
I mean, those are five things I feel like we've brought up before and are not good for you, and they're bad for your collagen. So try your best to avoid those and use sunscreen.
Yes. Okay. The end. Bye-bye.
I did want to ask you, any reactions thus far, Julie?
I agree with you. It just sounds like a lot of other wellness promises and huckstery type of talk of, you know, don't do the hard stuff. Buy this thing instead, and then you won't get older. And if you do get older anyway, it doesn't matter. It's not our fault. You can't have your money back.
That's true. Yeah, we're not on the hook. We're not on the hook if the aging still happens. Hang with me, because I think you're going to be surprised where we end up here. Because I think it changes my clinical practice a little bit. It's interesting. All right. So
I'm here for it.
The real question we're going to answer, does taking a supplement actually do anything? Like most supplements, the research that exists is garbage and the risk of bias is huge. But we're going to start with what I think you've already asked, and I think is a fantastic question. And the first question I had to ask is, do we even absorb collagen? Like, if I take it, do I just like poop it out?
Yeah.
If I drink a powder, does it go into my system, or is it like, how does it know where to go?
Right. How do I metabolize this so that I know it's going to turn into, like, we break down things. Like, there's powerful acids and other enzymes in our digestive system that breaks things into smaller pieces. So I don't know. I'd love for you to educate me to, like, does it become collagen again when you break it down to different amino acids, you know?
Wow, you're really good.
Thanks.
In its whole form, we can't absorb collagen. So that's when you buy these products, you're actually not buying collagen. And I don't know how closely you've looked at these products ever before, but they say a second word after the word collagen. They say peptides.
Yeah.
So they're collagen peptoids. Also peptides.
Peptoids.
I just developed a weird accent. Yeah, so right, your body
don't
breaks down.
This.
Yeah, taste of my own medicine. Your body breaks down the collagen proteins you eat into amino acids. And so eating collagen-rich foods doesn't directly result in higher collagen levels in your body. It just means you can absorb the amino acids. And we've heard of a lot of these amino acids before. You've heard of like glycine and such.
Sure.
Sure, you can absorb those.
Tryptophan.
Remember? Tryptophan. So yeah, that's an amino acid. And certainly you can absorb tryptophan. So the point is no, you can't absorb collagen, but yes, you can absorb collagen peptides that become amino acids.
Okay.
So that was where I wanted to start. Can I actually absorb this thing? You can.
Yeah. And I'd love to, well, I'm sure you'll get into this, so I don't want to step on your toes, but like.
Step on my toes. You always say like, I don't want to step on your toes.
Fine. But like, this is like so many other things. Like, how do I know if I eat the stuff that it was made out of in one way that I'm going to create it again? Like, wouldn't it make more sense if I ate a hormone that made collagen? Like, again, this might just be showing my own stripes of how little about nutrition I feel like I know sometimes. But I just feel like this is the disconnect between the science and the marketing. And I would love your explanation on that.
You ask an awesome question, and we're going to answer it because if you eat these amino acids, do those amino acids go back to being collagen? And the short answer is you have no control over that.
Right.
Right. And the reason you have no control over it is amino acids make up a million things. So they can go be anything they want in your whole body.
Right. Any structure. They could become mitochondria, the powerhouse of the cell.
The raw ingredients that support collagen production can be eaten as part of a healthy diet. And I want to highlight this because as we discussed with Christine Blank, our chef dietitian friend,
I heard you.
Food is first. And you can get a lot of the ingredients that that the supplements advertise right from food. So I'm going to give you some examples because I think that this is a good concrete way to, or good concrete information to leave with the episode. So amino acids you need from collagen or for collagen production include proline and glycine. Food that have those, proline is found in mushrooms, cabbage, asparagus, peanuts, wheat, fish, egg whites, and meat. Lots of things.
Yeah.
Glycine, found in red meats, turkey, chicken, and pork skin. Peanuts and granola. So a lot of meats and then a few other things. But you can get those from food and not food that is weird. Like people are eating those foods all the time.
Like bugs. Yeah,
yeah.
Right.
And then to support the growth of collagen, you also need some vitamins and minerals. So one of the big ones is vitamin C. I think most people are familiar with vitamin C, but it's found in oranges, strawberries, bell peppers, broccoli, Brussels sprouts, potatoes, and in many other foods. Copper. I think most people don't realize that they eat copper, but we eat lots of minerals. And copper is found in liver, lobster, oysters, shiitake mushrooms, nuts and seeds, leafy greens, tofu, and dark chocolate. And again, they can be in many other foods too. And then lastly, zinc. Zinc is good for collagen production. And zinc is found in oysters, red meat, poultry, pork, beans, chickpeas, nuts, broccoli, green leafy vegetables, whole grains, and milk products. So hard stop. I mean, we can talk about the supplements all we want, but if you're just trying to get stuff that helps you grow collagen, which is all the supplements are too, you established that nicely, Julie, right? Mm-hmm. You're taking these things, you're breaking them down, you're absorbing them, and they are the things that support collagen production, but they aren't collagen.
Right.
And you can get all those from all these foods that we're probably eating anyways, / should be focused on.
Sure.
Good with you?
Great with me.
Okay. But what about the powders, Dr. Friend? I spent $50 on this stuff. Am I just, you know, pooping it out? Should I return it?
Don't snort it. That's for sure.
Well, I didn't actually do any research on snorting it, but...
Maybe tell all your patients to do that there. Make their osteoarthritis go away.
So collagen peptides are small pieces of animal collagen. So the vast majority of them are some animal. And from what I could find, most of them are bovine collagen, so cows. As we mentioned, collagen can't be absorbed in its whole form. It has to be broken down into smaller peptides or amino acids. Oral collagen supplements come in the form of pills and powders that usually contain 2 or 3 amino acids. So we already mentioned like glycine and proline. So you're not going to, it'll have a list of the ones that are in there, but it's not usually bringing a million of them. And they're also usually sold with another phrase on there called hydrolyzed collagen, which is basically the breaking it down. It's a process that breaks down the collagen. Okay. So just giving you some vernacular, if you were to see the tub. Collagen peptides are in fact absorbed, as we mentioned, and that's encouraging. But as you already rained on everybody's parade, we don't have control of what happens next. These peptides make up like our neurotransmitters in our brain. So the peptides we consume may be directed to other parts of our body to form entirely different proteins than the original collagen that was hydrolyzed by the company. It's like recycling the metaphor I had here, or the analogy I came up with is, it's like recycling an aluminum can and hoping that the recycling plant will melt it down and use it to make the exact same can. It is possible, but certainly not guaranteed.
Correct. And there's nothing within that, like, its structure or DNA or whatever that's going to tell it to make, it's not like it has a muscle memory, you know,
no,
a peptide.
It has
memory.
No directions. It was not given the manual.
My dumb question is, what's the worst thing that it could become? You know, like, oh, it's going to become, this collagen is going to get broken down to its amino acids and become more collagen. It's like, no, it's not. It could become anything. What's the worst possible thing it could become?
Love
a
handles.
Tumor? We should embrace our love handles. I'm saying it's going to become a wart.
Yeah. It could be anything. It literally could be anything because they're just amino acids that we use to build our entire body.
Yeah. Agreed. I'm going to make it become disgusting stuff.
Yeah. Toenails.
Pus.
Ooh, gross. All right, we're moving on.
Buggers.
So, the summary, as Julie is really emphasizing for us right now, is that the collagen supplement that you just drank, it's very difficult to know whether it's heading directly to the site of your unwanted crow's feet.
Thank you.
Maybe it is, but who knows? Can't put a tracer on it. So let's humor the supplement companies for just a second and say that if we consume them, it will be absorbed. Therefore, it could improve our skin and our joints. Have we actually proven there's a benefit? So this is where we get into the research. Julie, do you want to start with skin or joints? Skin. Well, it's the one I put first, so I like it. All right.
Good.
Conveniently, there was a meta-analysis published in the Curious Medical Journal, spelled Cureus. So good play on words by them. I'd never heard of that journal, but we're going to go with it. The meta-analysis is from 3 months ago. It's entitled Exploring the Impact of Hydrolyzed Collagen Oral Supplementation on Skin Rejuvenation, a Systematic Review and Meta-Analysis. They looked at the effect of supplementing with collagen on measures of skin aging, with the primary outcomes being assessed skin hydration skin elasticity, and wrinkles.
Okay.
So
plumpness, stretchiness, and lack of lines.
Oh, that's so good. I love it. Thank you for that.
Mm-hmm.
Also, like right off the top of your head, it's really good. You must podcast. Of note, something I learned here, skin hydration is typically measured using a corneometer. It's a device that emits a high-frequency electrical current onto the skin's surface and quantifies the moisture content in the upper layers of the skin.
Makes sense.
Didn't know that.
Me neither.
Elasticity is typically assessed using cutometry, C-U-T, mm-hmm. like cut, cutometry. Mm-hmm. Maybe cutometry?
It's cuter.
I'd never heard of it, so we're going to go with one of the two. Which involves the application of controlled negative pressure to a small area of skin and measurement of the amount of deformation that occurs.
Okay.
Point being is, I guess you can objectively measure these things, I guess.
It just seems like it pokes it a little bit.
Yeah, they just bring somebody in and they just poke you. We're going to bring 5 medical students in. They're going to poke in different places and they're going to record their observations.
And everyone's going to feel real uncomfortable the whole time.
So this was a meta-analysis of 14 randomized controlled trials. 8 studies were in Asia, 4 in Europe, and 2 in North America. The total subjects consisted of about 967 men and women, mostly women, without skin conditions. So nobody had a pre-existing skin condition. So as a reminder, randomized controlled studies are the best form of evidence. They have one group use the product, they have another use a placebo, and generally keep them blind to the treatment so we can see whether there's an effect or not. The dose of collagen supplementation was not reported by all the studies, but ranged from about 0.3 to 10 grams, so nothing less than 0.3 and nothing over 10 grams. And then in most of the studies, the collagen was derived from fish, which is interesting because most of the products I found to buy, which we'll get to, were not fish, they were bovine. Mm-hmm. In 8 studies, collagen was part of a multi-ingredient supplement, which also included ingredients like hyaluronic acid, vitamin C, biotin, among other substances. So we'll get to why that's important.
Sure.
The duration of supplementation ranged from about 4 to 12 weeks. So at most, people are taking this for 3 months. What were the results? Compared to placebo, collagen increased skin hydration with a medium effect size and elasticity with a medium effect size and decreased wrinkles with a small effect size. So it actually did everything.
Okay.
Interesting. In summary, supplementing with collagen was found to improve markers of skin aging. However, collagen was often combined with other supplements, making it hard to say how much collagen was responsible for the effect.
Right.
Interestingly enough, there was another meta-analysis from the Nutrients Journal from August of 2023 looking at a very similar type of study where they were looking at the effect of supplementation with hydrolyzed collagen on skin hydration and elasticity. So same kind of concept. And this one had 26 randomized control studies consisting of like 1,700 adult participants from, and they were 18 and older, but 98% of them were women. It's interesting. They're like, I don't know if it's intentional to like only have women in this or women are only interested. But it's kind of interesting because they were both mostly women. And then the supplemental collagen was derived from fish in 14 of the trials, pork in 1, and bovine 1 and chicken 1. So again, it seems like everybody's using fish for the trials. The remaining 9 trials didn't report what they used. And the collagen doses in this one was 0.6 to 12. So again, it seems like the range is somewhere in like the single digits to 10 or so.
Okay.
But this study also showed that supplementation with hydrolyzed collagen increased skin hydration elasticity when compared to placebo. They also found that supplementation for more than 8 weeks resulted in greater increases in the skin elasticity and hydration compared to supplementation for less than 8 weeks. So like the last study, a number of the trials gave collagen in combination with other supplements, which makes it really hard. And furthermore, a large percentage of the participants were women, as I already mentioned. So it's hard to know if you can like generalize those findings to everybody, but maybe just to women.
Doesn't it feel weird to flip that on its head?
Yeah,
from all the years of research, they're all done on all men.
As you point
that's
that out, funny. it does actually make me, I now know why I feel so weird reading that.
Oh, you're welcome.
As a member of the feminist team, I'm happy to see a study that has 98% women. Of course, it was about skin hydration elasticity.
Of course. Yes, of course. Absolutely. I have a hard time believing that all of these studies are controlling for confounding factors. One, the major confounding factor you already mentioned of like, there's a bunch of other stuff in these supplements other than just collagen. Two, I don't know, like, again, these are meta-analyses, which there may be some statistical way of, or, you know, I haven't read through this study, so of seeing if they tried to control for confounding factors of like, Maybe some people wore more sunscreen. Maybe some people were otherwise getting, you know, other facial treatments or something. Like, what skin were we talking about? Were we talking about their face skin? Were we talking about their butt skin, their elbow skin? I don't know. Again, like, you don't have to answer all these questions, but it's just things that come to my mind about being, like, curious, the regular kind of curious, not the,
curious,
you know,
journal.
The TM version, about, like, okay, that sounds nice. And it's, you know, when you read a health article about this, it says like collagen in this study, new study shows that collagen increases your skin elasticity and pokeability or whatever the hell the other thing was. Like, to think about these things of like, all right, well, like, what other stuff could do that? That, and did this study mention controlling for some of the, say, the other factors?
Just so I'll push back a little bit on you, because we only have what we have, and
I know
randomized control studies are supposed to control by that by randomizing. So sure. You're supposed to have enough people in the randomized control study to basically say there may be those factors, but because it's randomized and each group is going to have a certain amount of the same
equal amounts. Okay.
It should be controlled for. In addition, then the next layer of that is by doing the meta-analysis where you have 14 of the studies and you're trying to put them all together. Now you're even trying to get better data from it. Now, I don't disagree with you. These studies are very low quality and have a lot of heterogeneity, which means that they were done very differently. There's confounding factors with the multiple things in there. The dose even had a large variability, right?
Sure.
So it's hard to 100% know, but it does seem like there is at least some data that's saying taking oral supplementation of collagen peptides does improve skin aging. So I guess the question is, in that point, is like, what's the downside? Right. And we'll get there in a second. But there was one more meta-analysis. I'm not going to spend a long time on it because it had some bad characteristics, but it was in the International Journal of Dermatology in 2021. It also showed things helped. But it had the placebo group. Their groups weren't split very well. So again, I think that the concept here is I don't trust that one as much. And the nice thing here too, is that many of these studies, I was able to look through examine.com and get their opinion on them too. And they grade them, which was really nice and helpful. So anyways, we talked about, I do think that there is some data that's supportive here, but the big buts are, again, as you already mentioned, the data. I don't really like where I'm going there. Hang on.
I had a joke I wanted to make, if you have time for that.
Yeah, I want your joke, but let's talk into it for a second. Like, let's lead into it for a second.
Understood.
Okay. I would say the one more thing I would bring up is like the source of supplementation seems like a little bit confusing too. It seems like they all used fish, and we'll talk about why that's something in the future. Anything you want to add there?
Oh, I think that's all really helpful. I do appreciate you pushing back on my skepticism. With a nice reasoned argument. And I think that's nice to show people we can do that. Also, I am mad at you forever.
Yeah. Well, I'm not going to talk to you until I start this next section of the outline.
We're in a fight, everybody, because Jeremy and I had a lovely back and forth about it's okay to be right and wrong.
And studies that have 98% women in it.
Means
going
better.
On in this world of note. Hey, we didn't cover topical collagen treatments here, so I'm not going to talk about those at all. I did not see any meta-analyses for these. I did see some quotes from experts in, like, when I was looking at more editorial type articles about this, the experts, like dermatologists, would say that the collagen that you use topically can't absorb enough to the deep layers that you need for benefit, so they didn't recommend it versus all the top, you know, we've talked about maybe doing a what actual skincare routine makes sense for people. So, but it doesn't seem like collagen, if you're buying collagen for the topical, like face creams and things like that, is going to make a big difference per dermatologist. You want to talk joints?
Yes, please.
The ones that we see every day, not the ones in Haight and Ashbury.
Very good. Yes,
so in the American Journal of Translation Research, Translational Research from September 2023, there was a study titled efficacy of undenatured collagen in knee osteoarthritis, review of the literature with limited meta-analysis. So again, we're getting a review with some meta-analysis, and they looked at the effect of undenatured type 2 collagen on symptoms of knee arthritis. Now, reminder, type 2 is the one that's mostly in cartilage.
Okay.
But remember that type 1 was in bones and muscles and tendons and things. Yeah. So there are a lot of components of our joints. Type 2 was mostly the one in cartilage. The outcomes included pain. So they used like a VAS score, like what's your pain? 0 to 10.
Yeah.
They used an osteoarthritis severity score, similar. I think they used WOMAC. WOMAC is going to ask you what your pain is, in addition to like questions of how do you feel going up and down stairs and how easy is it for you to get up from a chair? And so it's trying to get both pain and function. And then they also used a functional index for knee functionality. And the meta-analysis had 8 randomized control trials conducted with a total of 243 adults. And all of them had knee arthritis because that's what it was about. It was ages about 54 to 69, 152 women, 91 men. Again, women dominating. The trials ranged in duration from 3 to 6 months. And the dosages of the UC2 is what they call it, which is the type 2 collagen, were about 40 milligrams per day for 6 trials, 10 milligrams per day for 1 trial, and unspecified in the other trial. So for whatever reason, they picked mostly 40 milligrams for most of the trials. It was compared to placebo in 4 trials, no treatment in 3 of the trials, and then glucosamine chondroitin in 1 trial. Although, interestingly enough, that glucosamine chondroitin trial, they didn't report the results in them. It didn't make the meta-analysis. So can kind of forget about that one.
Okay.
So what were the results, Julie Bruni? Supplementation with type 2 undenatured collagen reduced pain 1.65 points out of 10 on a VAS scale. So if
not bad.
You had a 6 out of 10 pain before, you now had a 4.35 out of 10. Osteoarthritis severity, so that was the WOMAC, had a minus 8.91 points. And I believe WOMAC is on a 100-point scale, if I know that straight. So if you were an 80, now you are, and you want to have a high score. So if you were, I guess actually they said minus 8.91 points. I thought you wanted to be high. Either way, you got 8.91 points better in WOMAC. So now I'm showing my own weaknesses. But listen, real experts don't pretend to know everything.
Yes,
you heard it here
absolutely.
First. Absolutely. So these were modest improvements, but improvements nonetheless. And there aren't any other meta-analyses I can find on this. I did note that there was a randomized trial that I thought was interesting. This was also in the Nutrients Journal. So collagen apparently shows up in the Nutrients Journal quite a bit. This was in 2021. It was an 8-week randomized controlled trial that examined the effect of collagen supplementation on joint pain and function in 90 people. They were 40 to 65 years old with pain, stiffness, or discomfort of the joints. So I thought what was interesting about this study is that none of the participants had a medical condition that explained their joint pain. So none of them had rheumatoid arthritis or osteoarthritis or gout or an injury. And none were taking pain medication. So they just had pain, stiffness, or discomfort.
How do you find these people? It's like, do your joints hurt? And it's like, yeah. And then they come in and they just do a bunch of testing to rule out that they don't have some other like known underlying condition. Interesting. Got to be hard.
So.
That's difficult.
What I like about this study, though, Julie, is I feel like that's a lot of people who are taking these supplements or not people who have like a known condition. They're like, my joints are just stiff, so I heard I should take collagen.
Yeah.
So I kind of like that concept because I think we've established with one meta-analysis so far that osteoarthritis seems to maybe improve with, you know, again, the symptoms of it, not the cartilage of it. We should be very clear here. The symptoms and the function improved with collagen. But again, like, what if you don't have those diagnoses? So the participants took capsules containing 2.5 grams of chicken-derived hydrolyzed collagen, mostly type 2, or placebo capsules. Half were taken in the morning and half were taken in the evening. And then the primary outcomes were pain and overall joint health. Overall joint health was based on a questionnaire assessing for joint pain, stiffness, and difficulty in physical activities, as well as pain assessment based on self-reported scale of like 1 to 10, higher scores indicating more pain. The outcomes were assessed at 4 and 8 weeks, so at most 2 months. The results showed that the compared to placebo group, overall joint health improved to a greater extent in the collagen group at week 4, but any difference in that overall joint health between groups disappeared by week 8. So they got better in the first 4 weeks, and by week 8, they were the same.
They were back to normal again.
Yeah.
Interesting.
And then pain scores actually didn't differ between the placebo and collagen groups at any time point. So this, which is interesting to me because the overall joint health included a pain score, which makes you think that the stiffness and difficulty with activities had to be the things that improved in the first 4 weeks then, because the pain didn't improve. So
yeah, that's weird.
Kind of interesting, right?
Do you think that the capsules would have worked better if they vibrated?
I hope people have listened to that episode by now.
I hope they didn't, and they have no context for what the hell I'm talking about. And
why
I'm not going to give
about
them any
vibrating capsule.
I'm not going to give them any anymore. You could do your own homework, kids.
Yeah. Just look for, there's an episode titled something about spring forward. That's the episode you're looking for. And it's at the end and you'll get the context. Okay. Thank you for the color on that, Julie. So my takeaways, real quick, the weaknesses, it was funded by the company who makes the supplement. So much,
here we go.
Like so much of the research we see, these randomized trials.
Yeah, I know.
And then also, preliminary research does seem to suggest that higher doses than 2.5 milligrams may be required to help with any of this stuff. As you noticed in the previous thing, we were taking higher doses. So maybe it just wasn't a high enough dose to cause an effect. But I think overall, this study suggests using collagen long-term for an undiagnosed joint condition lacks value.
Okay. I like that. I'm totally on board.
So, if you have osteoarthritis, these may help you feel better. If you have pain or dysfunction without a diagnosis, they don't seem to help. And there is no study that says that they are doing anything to grow cartilage or prevent cartilage deterioration.
Got it.
Summary.
I think it's a great summary. I mean, this will help me answer that question better for patients that bring this up, which happens like weekly, to be honest with you.
I told you it changed my clinical practice. So in the last couple of days, I've brought up collagen more and and I said it with those exact terms. And then I also told them that it only followed type 2. These studies were on type 2. So if they were taking it for osteoarthritis.
This undenatured, so
you need to find the type 2 cartilage, which we'll get to the most popular products in this next part. I did do some research into the most popular products to figure out.
Good, because I'd like to, especially since they all seem to come from animals. And what about people that don't like to consume animals?
Sure. So, I do think that maybe some of the most practical advice outside of we're trying to do what we can to bring actual quality research to you as the listener. And also make it approachable in a way that you can understand. But at the end of the day, the practical approach is if I walk in to a store and I see these products, is it worth me buying it? And can you give me the simple yes or no to that? And so I went onto Amazon and I basically searched, collagen peptides and went through the first five that were up there to get a sense of what they were. So I already brought up one company, Vital Proteins. That's the gigantic warehouse I drive by. It's by far the most popular on Amazon. They also seem to have multiple different products, which I found a bit confusing. I mean, I think I was on both Amazon's website and Vital Proteins website for at least 10 minutes trying to figure out which products were which and what was in what. And they just have a lot of different types and they focus on collagen. So it's kind of confusing. They're basic collagen peptides powder products. So it's the blue bottle, if you've seen it. It says collagen peptides. It advertises 20 grams of bovine collagen, but it doesn't state on the product page or on Amazon or their website what type of collagen is in it.
Yeah.
So it's bovine collagen, but I don't know which type. I did find in their FAQ section, I told you I was on this website for a while.
Good job.
It appears that the product is mostly type 1 with some type 3.
Is it bones? Are we eating bones?
Yes.
Okay, thank you. Were you going to get there and I just stepped on it?
No. Yeah, they're grinding
cow bones, right? Ground up cow bones.
Yeah, okay. It's like when you go to these really fancy restaurants and you get marrow. Like they bring you the bone and you just suck the marrow out of it.
It also sounds like probably the parts of cow that are not being utilized by just the meat industry. So it's okay, I guess on that end, I hope you're not killing more cows so you can just take their bones. My hope would be that we're using the whole animal.
It's a good question, actually, and I did not get into that in the FAQ section. I didn't see that, but I do agree with you. It's okay to have silver linings in here, and I do think they may be using parts of the cow that maybe weren't being used as much before. Or if they were, maybe it's just another product from it. So maybe a small silver lining. So, but I had to go really far into the FAQ section to even find out, which is disturbing. It does not say how much of type 1 or type 3 is in there, but if you want type 2, remember we talked about you want type 2 if you got the knee arthritis thing going on, you can buy their cartilage collagen product. So it's called cartilage collagen, not their basic collagen peptides.
Got it.
They also have marine collagen, which is types 1 and 3, but again, that's going to be fish, which were in the studies, and then collagen peptides advanced, which comes with vitamin C and hyaluronic acid in it. Now you've got your combination product.
Interesting.
I found it overall pretty confusing. And I think most people likely buy the standard one, like the blue one that says collagen peptides.
Sure.
Or they probably buy the advanced one. Those are probably the, and actually those were the two top sellers on Amazon by far. Like well over 100,000 ratings.
What is the price difference between the one that is just regular old collagen and the one that is supposed to be for joints?
It's a good question. I wrote down cost. Cost of Vital Proteins is currently $40 for the advanced, and that's 28 servings. And it's $33 for the standard, which is 27 servings. So it's like $7 difference.
What about for the specifically for the cartilage one?
I actually don't have the cartilage one. Let's Google it.
Because you'd expect like, so you were telling me that the meta-analysis showed that the undenatured type 2 collagen has benefit for people that have degenerative joint disease and symptoms.
Correct.
And my guess is that that particular product is probably going to cost more than straight up cow bones.
Straight up cow bones. All right, I'm on Vital Proteins website, and cartilage collagen for, so it says it has 3 grams of type 2 collagen. Remember, they did 2.5 in the study. So that seemed to help with osteoarthritis. And it looks like it actually comes in, are these capsules? No, this is, no, it's capsules. Interesting. Mm. That won't taste as bad, I guess. They say they don't have a taste. They're supposed to be like kind of Miralax.
Answer my question.
120 capsules for sold out. Log in to view price. This is bullshit.
I'm just, my hypothesis is going to, it's going to be more expensive.
Oh, wait, here, let's go to Amazon. They'll at least tell me how much it costs. Currently unavailable. Seems like you can't buy this stuff anywhere.
Yeah, because it's probably the only thing that actually does anything.
Yeah.
Is my point. Other than like make your skin look good, which is fine. Like if you want your skin to be pokier and plumpier, great.
It looks like I don't know if The Feed is a reputable site, but they're selling it for $41 for 120 capsules.
I don't know if that's more expensive. You said 28 servings of the other one was $40, right?
Yeah. How often are you supposed
to
take
these capsules? How many capsules are you supposed to take? Right.
Serving size, four capsules.
That's where they get you.
Serving size, four capsules. But
just make one giant 3-centimeter vibrating capsule for me, please. That's how I like to consume everything.
But this is an interesting thing, though, because they say to take, I don't know, I just have the label that says serving size, four capsules. I don't actually see an instruction.
So that means you're getting 12.
Yeah, but you don't need that much then, based on the study. You could take one capsule, and it looks like they took it morning and night in the study. So you could do two a day, based on the study.
Yeah.
So
okay, interesting.
Maybe you get more out of it. Here's another website called MSM that sells it for $40. So it seems like you're getting those for $40. So it seems like somewhere between $35 and $40 for Vital Proteins.
Interesting.
The one thing that Vital Proteins has going for it, and this kind of harkens back to our green powders episode, is that they are NSF certified.
Nice. Okay.
So again, what we explained in that episode is that NSF is one of the higher levels of certification. It's the ones that are used for like Olympics to make sure that you're actually taking what's in there. So you know for a fact what you bought is what you thought you were buying, and there's no additives. There's no, I mean, with that recent story about the cinnamon applesauce and the lead, I mean, so the fact that it's been third party tested and you know what's in there. Yeah. And then the other thing, too, is that there's nowhere on there that it says proprietary blend. There's no, like, that garbage in here. You kind of know what's in there, too. So that's good.
We should make merch that says the shit about proprietary blend. Yeah. It's just your face and my face smushed together.
It is actually pretty good. I like that.
That's
good. So the next couple products on Amazon, just quickly to go over those, there was one called Live Conscious and then Sports Research. Those are two separate brands. They advertise 11 grams of bovine collagen with types 1 and 3. And then there's Orgain, so spelled like organ, but put an I in it, so Orgain.
Okay.
Which was 20 grams, like Vital Proteins, of bovine collagen types 1 and 3. None of them were NSF certified, but Sports Research does have a label on its bottle that says lab tested. Now, I'm not sure if that is enough, because they didn't say the name of a lab or an organization that certifies it, but they said they were lab tested.
A dog licked it, a Labrador.
Yeah. Damn it. So it seems types 1 and 3 are the most common. So if you just went and bought something that said collagen, you're probably getting 1 and 3. So if you're an arthritis patient, I don't know if it's helping you, but it may be helping your skin, because that's what the skin studies were on. So if you want to get joint benefits, you have to specifically look for type 2. And most of them I found were multi-products. Like the ones that are type 2, you just asked me to find the cartilage collagen that has just type 2 in it. Mm-hmm. There is type 2 in multi-products. So you could find a collagen that has type 1, type 2, type 3, type 4, whatever. And if, I guess if it had the dosage that you wanted of type two, then, you know, you'd be getting what you wanted and theoretically, you know, maybe not caring about the rest. Costs of these other products, they're around $22 to $26 for around the same amount of servings. So I'm assuming that the cost of NSF certification and the brand recognition makes Vital Proteins more expensive. So
agreed. Makes sense.
There you have it. What are your overall reactions? I should say one more thing, Julie. These have been shown to be safe. I didn't find any safety issues. So again,
that's important.
What are the risks? So now what are your reactions? The floor is yours, madame.
I was just going to make jokes about how it's probably all just made from Soylent Green, which is people.
I get it. I didn't see, there are plant-based collagens that I did not look in, and that was an excellent question. They all seem to be coming from animal.
And it must just be that it's the easiest way to get it. I mean, to get, you know, tons of ground up, it probably, I mean, I'm assuming, I don't know, I guess it's not an assumption, but it like this would be an opportunity for a business that had an idea that potentially animal collagen could be helpful to someone. And if it was going to waste or just turned into like meal for other animals or something, that you could utilize something that might have otherwise been not or just thrown away, I suppose. But I don't know. Sounds fishy to me. I would eat the fish ones, I suppose. But I don't know. I'm not going to use it. I don't care.
I stand corrected. Although a plant-based collagen does not exist, Vital Proteins does offer a handful of plant-based products. So they do like protein.
How,
so it doesn't look
does
like there's
not,
a plant-based.
Like, just
I don't know. Is there not, collagen? There's not collagen in plants.
In like broccoli bones. You gave me a bunch of nut things. Make it from nuts. Give me some nut bones.
Yeah, I don't know. Doesn't look like there's I mean, that was on that's Vital Protein's website, so take it.
You know
what?
Because it's too expensive is why they're not doing it. It's not that it doesn't exist. It just means that it's too costly, so it's not worth it.
Have I changed your mind on collagen at all? And by changed your mind, I wasn't trying to change your mind. But now that you have the information that you have here, so you've done this deep dive with me, how do you feel about it? What are you going to say to patients? What are you going to say to friends when they ask?
I think I would say, look, if this is something that you're interested in, first of all, always go to examine.com for everything because I love them. Second of all, especially if you're looking for things about supplements because it's very easy to understand information and they're great and valid and we love them. Second of all, from what you've told me, I have osteoarthritis conversations every single day, 20 times a day. That's all I talk about for the most part. And there's a lot of people that are looking for natural or alternative treatments in addition to or in place of the stuff that we offer them that is not unnatural, but it's also just like shots and things like that. And, you know, I usually give them the talk about like glucosamine can be helpful. There's some studies that show that it works like kind of in a natural anti-inflammatory sense. And we can always talk about those things in the future, too. But collagen comes up a lot. And until now, I've just said like, I don't know, I don't think it does anything. Mm-hmm. But I think I would say it may help a little bit. And again, none of these things are going to regrow your cartilage and cure your disease. But if it's offering like what I'm offering, which are management strategies for your symptoms, then perhaps looking into a type 2 collagen supplement may be worth trying for like a month or two to see if you see a difference in your symptoms. And if you do, great. If you don't, just eat Soylent Green instead.
I totally agree with you. So I did this research obviously before we did the episode and it changed my clinical practice. I have had this conversation with arthritis patients. I'm not like bringing it up to every patient that comes in, but I basically say like, yeah, supplementation wise, glucosamine chondroitin and collagen seem to have evidence. Glucosamine chondroitin has better evidence, but early evidence seems like maybe there's something here and it's safe. I also thought what's interesting is like a lot of the things that we offer as sports medicine doctors doesn't really target the stiffness and like laxity, like the lack of joint laxity. And it seems like collagen actually helped some of those things. So again, I don't know if it's going to change anything, but like it feels safer than maybe taking Aleve or ibuprofen all the time in terms of like getting in, interacting with medications and kidneys and liver.
Side effects. And, I have
started to use it as part of my normal vernacular. So I'm completely with you. These appear to be safe. These are the take-home points from my perspective. They appear to be safe, but as always, make sure you buy a third-party tested product. And it seems to me, based on my research, that Vital Protein seems to be the safest in that regard to me. Like, I don't want to make a recommendation of a single brand. We don't stand by one brand here. But I don't think I saw enough in my research right now to tell anybody to not go buy anything besides Vital Proteins because they're NSF certified. I know you're getting that. And then trying to get the product that you can get from there. And everything else just seemed a little concerning.
Are you sure that they haven't paid you anything to give this glowing recommendation? Did you go into that warehouse and swim around in the collagen powder like Scrooge McDuck in a big pile of coins?
I'm unbuttoning my shirt to show you my Vital Proteins shirt.
Very strange what you're doing.
I don't have a Vital Protein shirt on. No, they haven't given me anything. And again, like, I certainly wouldn't stand by them as a company overall. I've not dug into them at the least. But I do know that they're NSF certified, the same way we talked about Athletic Greens, because, like, I don't know if Athletic Greens is right for you, but I do know that if you want a product, I know that they at least get theirs tested.
Yeah, agreed.
And that tells me that they at least care of what's in their product. And that is it's a shitty bar to set for people, but at least it's a
bar's on the floor.
But at least it's a bar.
Yeah, that's true.
So decreasing these supplements may decrease signs of skin aging and may make joint arthritis feel better, but you should make sure you're getting the type of collagen for the outcome you want based on the studies. So again, type 2 for joints and the type 1 and 3 probably more for skin. I don't have a problem with people taking it for skin aging. I think we spend so much money on trying to not have our skin age on lots of different products. And I think those meta-analyses are compelling enough to say, I mean, that's better evidence than a lot of other garbage that is sold out there. And again, very little harm. So it's probably harder to study. I shouldn't say that on yourself. You have to take it for months at a time, probably to notice any different. And you may not even change what you look like. You may just be slowing a process down. And there's no way to know if you actually did slow a process down because you don't know what it would have been otherwise. But
no,
I think the harm's low. At the end of the day, these are expensive and they have modest benefits. And the take-home message from your doctor friends is buy at your own financial risk. But at least you're informed. And I feel much more informed about this because I was not before. So anything else you want to add?
No, I love it. Thank you.
All you collagen takers, subscribe and leave a rating for us. And at the end of the day, if you're going to take a collagen powder to prevent yourself from aging, at least do it while you're listening to your doctor friends.
The amazing music is credited to SkillCell with Pixabay licensure. The podcast is meant for educational and entertainment purposes only. The contents of this podcast should not be taken as medical advice to treat any medical condition in either yourself or others. Please consult a medical professional for any medical issues that you may be having. The contents of this podcast are the opinions of the hosts only and do not reflect the opinions of their employers or affiliations. This entire disclaimer also applies to any guests or contributors to the podcast. Under no circumstances shall Dr. Julie Bruni or Dr. Jeremy Allen or any guest to the podcast be responsible for damages arising from use of the podcast.